glad that you're here, and we'll try to deliver this lesson. Christ makes a very definite statement here. He leaves little room for ambiguity. A lot of people don't like these kinds of statements in the Bible, and they forget that Jesus sometimes said things very plainly in an effort to get people's attention. No man, having put forth his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Doesn't take a mental giant to figure out what he's talking about there. You and I, we are prone to make allowances for sin, to reserve judgment on an action or a series of actions done by somebody. When something is done that is in contradistinction to what the Bible says, again, it doesn't take a nasty scientist to know that that's against the Word of God. When we obey the Bible, we're pleasing to God. When we disregard what the Bible says, that we are displeasing to God. And if we habitually, without regard to what we're doing, offend God, then we are not fit, suitable for the kingdom. Jesus taught that some were unfit, and he should know. Jesus is the standard. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, if you're not fit for the kingdom, you won't come in. But the glory of the kingdom makes it important that you and I learn how that we ought to behave in the house of God. In fact, that's what Paul wrote that young preacher Timothy in 1 Timothy 3:15, he said, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So there is a right way and a wrong way to behave in the house of God. No, we're not talking about just being here in church. This is not the house of God, this fine building that we're in. The people. This is the household of God, the family of God. And we are to conduct ourselves in certain ways. There are certain expectations. So if there's something that I can do to keep from rendering myself unfit for the kingdom, I want to know what that is. And put very simply, if we obey the Word of God in full assurance, in faith, then we can know that we are pleasing to God, and that's what we want to do. I don't want to displease God. Sometimes, in my efforts to please God, I'm going to displease some people. That's going to happen. In your efforts to please Almighty God, you're going to make a person unhappy. And that's their misfortune. But see, part of the problem
with backsliding Christians is the fact that they want to please man more than pleasing God. They have put their hand to the plow, and as long as everything's going right and good, they'll plow clear to the fence. But they're just as apt to look back while they're plowing. And if they look over their right shoulder, they're going to veer off to the right. And if they look over their left shoulder, they're going to veer off to their left. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's where we need to be going. So what are some of the things that render a man unfit for the kingdom, not suitable? Well, number one, those who are not born again. Those who have never been born again of the water and of the Spirit, as we read about in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus who came to Jesus. He was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, he will not be fit for the kingdom of God, essentially. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus said, I tell ye, verily, verily, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Water, unless you've been tainted by denominational doctrine, is obviously an allusion to baptism. Born again, reborn. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, Peter writes it this way. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or true love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you've never been born again, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, just being dunked in the water doesn't guarantee you were born again. If you thought you were saved before you were baptized, that's not how it works. You got wet. They may have even given you a certificate, said you were baptized. And you were immersed. That's what baptized means, immersed. But you weren't born again. What else renders a person unfit for the kingdom? Those who are proud. Those who are proud. Those who hold themselves above others. Those who consider themselves to be the upper crust, or those who consider themselves to be the norm. And so there are some people that don't meet your standards, that don't come up to the average, in other words. The wicked, through pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts, Psalm 10 and verse 4. What's the psalmist implying there? Well, number one, he says God should be the primary focus of our thoughts. We talked about the preeminence of Christ this morning somewhat in our Bible study. God should have first place in our minds and our thoughts and our lives. For an example, say we're planning a vacation. Brethren, as Christians, one of the first things we should do when we're planning a vacation, if we're going to be away on the Lord's Day, we should be finding a place to go worship before we ever leave. Instead of waiting for the last minute and to say, oh, well, we can't find a church that's convenient to go to, so we'll just not go today. No. You've planned vacations. You've sought time off work. Maybe made arrangements with the school to have your kids out. You made reservations. Maybe rented a car, or you've made advanced travel arrangements for a flight. All these things were made well in advance, except church. That's a problem. Is that person really fit for the kingdom if church is an afterthought? How does that line up with what Jesus said in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Is that giving Christ the preeminence, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13? No, that's putting self first, and that's pride, and that's idolatry. Isaiah the prophet wrote, "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Jesus said in those beautiful attitudes in Matthew chapter 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, their lot is the kingdom of heaven." Blessed are the poor in spirit, the ones who are not proud and haughty. So hopefully we're not finding this in ourselves. But these are the kinds of things we need to be on the lookout for. Thirdly, what makes a person unfit for the kingdom? A person who will not persevere in the faith. Jesus said unto this man in our text this morning, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." We cannot afford to allow our journey with Christ, our journey to heaven, to get off track. We can't turn to the right or to the left. We have to stay in the middle. We have to stay on that straight and narrow way that Jesus spelled out in Matthew chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. There's a broad way and a narrow way. There's a right way and a wrong way. There's God's way and there's the devil's way. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Paul persevered. He stuck with it. He didn't just play when the times were good and his team was winning. He played when times were rough. He played when they were getting trounced time and time again. And he stuck with Christ. He wasn't just a fair-weather Christian. He was with Christ in season, out of season. When things were going well, when things were not going well. He kept himself fit for the kingdom. He was enough of a chameleon that he could change with the circumstances. And he was able to say, in whatever state I am in, therewith I will be content. Now, he didn't change doctrine. No, it's not what I'm talking about. But if Paul was in prison, he adapted to the prison and he preached Christ. If he had to be a tent-making preacher, he made tents and he preached Christ. If he was getting support from other congregations, he still went about preaching and teaching Christ and always, always, always living the way a Christian should live and rendering himself fit for the kingdom of God. He tells Timothy, what was awaiting him. And he tells him in verse 9 of chapter 4, do thy diligence to come to me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas was no longer fit for the kingdom, as long as he was in love with the present world. Really, that's what Christmas is about, isn't it? The present world. All the presents we can get. That's what people think the present world is. What can I get for Christmas? How about what can I give for Christ all year long? Brethren, every day ought to be Christmas for the Christian. We ought to be seeing what we can give. Anybody can be nice once a year. That doesn't take any special talent. We need to have that attitude 365 days a year. Lot's wife, she didn't persevere. She looked from behind him after being warned not to. She became a pillar of salt. Wasn't that a silly, silly way to die? All she had to do was keep looking forward. All she had to do. Don't look back. But she looked back and she died. Jesus told us, feller, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. But why do so many Christians look back to their past? Why do we long for those days when sin was what we worshiped? When we could go out and see how drunk we could get, or when we go out and see how many sexual conquests we could have, or we could go out and see how dirty jokes we can tell, or how much we can cuss in a minute, or what kind of lies can we get away with, rather than seeing how righteous we can be. Those not willing to suffer aren't fit for the kingdom of God. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, we're told that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Our being a Christian might cost us something in this life. I know it better cost us something spiritually. And it probably ought to cost us something physically. Where does our allegiance lie? Maybe our allegiance can be best pinpointed by looking at where we spend our money, or the kinds of things we spend our money upon. If we're going to suffer, let it be as a Christian. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. 1 Peter 4:16. So if you're suffering as a result of your not being a Christian, then you're not fit for the kingdom, are you?
Sinners will suffer. We talked about this in Revelation on Wednesday nights, and we talked about it last Sunday night in the sermon, I believe. Sinners will suffer. Christians may suffer too. But eternity, are you going to suffer for eternity? Or are you going to rejoice with God for eternity? The God of all grace, who hath both called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, and strengthen, and settle you, so that you are not unfit for the kingdom, but so you are very fit for the kingdom. Those who do not serve are not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm not talking about those who don't take a part of the public assembly. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about those who don't do anything, who are content to sit by and let life happen to them rather than being active and doing things. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. It's popular passage. Some of you probably have it memorized. Matthew 25:41. Then shall they say to them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee in hunger, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to the least of one of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting destruction, but the righteous into life eternal. Christians, we have opportunities to serve every day. There's not going to be a big sign just pop up and say, opportunity, with blinking lights and sirens and bells. You got to use your noodle doodle. You got to think. You got to look. You got to look with your heart as much as you look with your eyes. There's always opportunities. Maybe the next point is somewhat related to this. Maybe we don't serve because we are too carnally minded. We're always thinking of physical things. We'd rather serve the works of the flesh.
Galatians 5:19. Adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wraths, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, drunkenness, murders, revelings, and such like, which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things, listen to this, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That makes you unfit.
That's quite a comprehensive list.
adultery. That's a blight upon the church today. So many living in adultery. Uncleanness. That could be everything from sexual immorality to homosexuality to pedophilia to bestiality. Lasciviousness, that which entices to lust. Idolatry, that's not just worshiping of idols. That's anything that takes the place of God. If you have company over on Sunday and you stay home from church to just be with your company because they don't want to go to church, well, then you think more of your company than you do the Lord.
The rest of them's pretty self-explanatory. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling. Reveling is a drinking party. Such like, of which I tell you in times past that these people are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Who else? A lack of faith. Those with a lack of faith will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who lack love, the badge of discipleship. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. 1 John 3. And those who refuse to grow. Well, if that little baby back yonder had stopped growing, here in a couple weeks, mom and dad is going to be very, very alarmed. We should be alarmed when Christians aren't growing like they should. That little baby's going to grow. That little baby's going to learn things. It's the natural process. When Christians refuse to grow, there's something wrong. There is a defect. Maybe a heart defect. Maybe their heart's not really been pricked with the word. But at any rate, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. We have to strive to enter that straight and narrow way. And then having entered, we have to continually and steadfastly strive in the doctrine of Christ. The goal is before us, brethren. We have to continue to look onward and upward. Looking unto Jesus. Striving to be as much like Jesus as we possibly can be. We cannot content ourselves to say, well, I'm religious enough. I know enough about the Bible. I don't have to learn anymore. I don't have to go to church anymore because, you know, I've been going to church since I was a little kid, and surely God will just let me through if I'm just, you know, content now to sit at home. That's not putting Christ first. We learn lessons from the mistakes of our past. We learn them. We let them go, and we climb onward, and we climb upward.
Don't allow yourself to become unfit for the kingdom of God. You have the guide. Study it. Read it. Learn it. Love it. Live it. Do everything in your power to make yourself fit, suitable for the kingdom of God. Believing that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God. Being desirous to repent of your sins. Being willing to confess that noble name. Be humbled and submit to baptism in water for the forgiveness of your sins. That's how you become a Christian. And then you stay a Christian by living faithfully unto death. Rendering yourself fit day after day. If you need to become a child of God this morning, we would encourage you to take advantage of that. If you need to return, if you have rendered yourself unfit for the kingdom, now's the perfect time to come back so that you might once again be a fit child of God and ready for eternity with God. If you're subject to that invitation, we would encourage you to take a seat on the front row right now as together we stand and sing.